CliffCentral.com.
Righty, CliffCentral.com on a very lovely Monday morning, I've got to say. This is the best time of the year, and we are sliding downhill towards December. It'll be here before you even know it. Like, we're already halfway through September, right? And some. October is just the best month of all. If you had to rank them all, October's right at the top of the pile. November comes a fairly good second. December 3rd, January the 4th, and then from there on, the other months don't really matter. I don't like them or care for them very much. That's how I see it anyway. And you know what happens, right, is it all happens so quickly from here on in because it's so lovely. Every weekend is golden. There's none of that, oh, God, I wish winter was over stuff that I feel anyway. I know there are those bizarre people who love winter, but they're few and far between and for good reason. We've got a really interesting thing to talk about here, and I don't know how to approach this other than to just read you the email. So wherever you are and whatever you're doing, just stop. We need your help for this. And by the way, coming up, Collectomania, coming up later today, Bulelo's show, we'll hear about that in a second. But listen to this quickly. So, hey, Gareth, I'm in a tricky situation here. I need your advice. Every afternoon, I take my dogs for a walk. It's just me and the dogs. That's what I'm used to, and that's what I enjoy. Last week, I met a guy who was really interested in my dogs. I let him pet and take photos of the dogs, which I had no problem with. He also asked to walk with me to the park with the dogs, and I said, sure, no problem. The next thing he asked for my cell number, so I asked him why. He told me he would like to walk with me every day in the afternoons after work because he doesn't know anyone else in the area, and he's bored to walk on his own. I gave him my number, and since then, he's been constantly texting me on WhatsApp, asking me about the music and movies I like, as if we're both in high school. He even sends good morning messages asking what I'm up to on that day and how my day was, which was a problem. I hate sending daily reports. So this is a woman, and she's already annoyed by this dude who is obviously trying to make moves. So I kind of know what Mulelo might say here, but I have no idea what you would say, Leanne. So you start. Surprise us. Because I know what Mulelo is going to be like clinical about it. So you go ahead. What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, if he's hoping for any kind of relationship, that's gone now because she's clearly turned off by this whole scenario.
Mm.
I feel that the empath in me is saying, I feel sorry for him. Maybe he's just looking for some kind of connection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so scared of hurting someone's feelings that I would probably do something drastic like move or stop walking my dog or pretend that there's some really That's bad family insane. Emergency and my whole life has changed. And I would drive like two suburbs just with my dog to start walking them in a different area. Those are unfortunately the things I would do, which I, you know, That's I'd rather insane. Make myself uncomfortable than yeah. him. But yeah, it's not the right way. The right way is to approach the situation. Very difficult.
Which brings us to Mbulelo. I mean, I love that you're so honest about it because there are people who would do those ridiculous and unnecessary and stupid things just to not have to deal with it and not hurt people's feelings. Mbulelo, obviously, you know what to do here. You know what you would do.
First and foremost, to the lady, is it's not your job to make other people comfortable in the world. It is their job to make themselves comfortable mm-hmm. in the world. The world is always uncomfortable. So it is your job now to go and address the situation early as well and say, obviously, you know, we live in the country, we do. I hope it's not to that dark place where this guy's a full-on creepo. But it's her job now to go and make it clear to him, I am uncomfortable now. Please, can we stop this? Like, I can't help you off this island. Is you need to go and address it mm-hmm. and address it in person. Do not do it via text.
Yeah.
Awkward situations. You go and you speak to the guy and you say,
you take control.
I am uncomfortable. I am uncomfortable. I need you to know that. I am uncomfortable now.
It's also scary that my mind also goes to, I'm scared of what he'll do if I do let him down. So it may not only be empathy, it might be self-protection, where I'm, yeah, I then just can't do, let you do him it down because I'm scared of
you
what
you do it in a public place. You do it in a public place and you make sure that there's someone else around who you know. That's all.
And also, if she is scared, I mean, the right thing to do is let's take photos, you and me with my dogs. You make sure that a male figure or somebody who you know can protect you in the physical sense knows what the guy looks like, so that when you go and address it, if it goes there, then you've got that out of this is the man who did this. You know what I mean? Is you, obviously, as a lady, you can't just go and sort it out yourself. Is you need to have, this is what he looks like. You go and address it, and then you work it from there. I hope it isn't what my mind is feeling.
I'm surprised because I didn't even think about the danger component. So I feel stupid that I didn't consider that as an obvious thing that could happen in a country where that stuff happens way too much, right? I didn't even think about that. It wasn't in my realm of possibility. So now you've got me feeling dumb because I was going to say, please, you know, just go to the guy and tell him it's over and it's ridiculous and you've got to find other people to pester. But now that you've brought up the things you have, it's made me think.
Yeah, and it's a real thing. I mean, you know, as a woman, and I feel terrible that, Bolelo, you say things like, you know, as a woman, you won't be able to protect yourself and you need a man, etc. But unfortunately, it's a reality. And also in a society in which we exist, where if a man is even walking in the same direction as you, you immediately start worrying about it.
That happens.
You immediately start thinking, I need to get to my car. Where is my phone? Where is my tear gas spray? You know, it's where our minds go all the
time.
Tough,
man. That is some difficult.
Get into my car and lock the doors, you know.
But what I would encourage for the lady is it is not – because all it sounds like is now she's sacrificing her comfort so that he can be comfortable, right? It's not your job to make other people comfortable
the
planet.
That
start
is such,
there.
That is such
she,
a
she must
true, yeah,
very
thing.
True.
Start that in your mind. And bloody hell, what a situation.
The guy has now also made her dogs used to him, so they probably won't protect her against him. Well, I don't think it's been happening for a long time. Right, so take another guy with and introduce him as your new boyfriend, says Simon. but you're not dealing with the problem, you know. Have her brother walk the dog with her or a male friend. Yeah, all of this is very good advice. You see, we've got some smart people here suggesting some useful things. Maybe convince a fake boyfriend to start walking with you and your dogs as well. It's Beth's point. Sean says, I confirm by asking them to either confirm or repeat what I just said. Yeah. In other words, make sure he understands. Say, do you know what I'm telling you? So do you understand what I'm saying? Please repeat to me. Like, even if it seems patronizing, sometimes you've got to do that with people. Otherwise, they don't internalize it. Richard said, it's sad that we have to live in a society where fear drives the decision on how to deal with it. Just by the way, the reason I didn't immediately jump to the fear conclusion that Leanne and Bolelo did is her email doesn't indicate to me that she's feeling fearful. It's just that she's annoyed and irritated. So I didn't get fear out of this. This guy's maybe not even intimidating in any way. You don't know, right?
Well, then she should be annoyed with herself. She has nobody. If there is an annoyance, is you let it happen. The world doesn't happen to you. And man, I know I always talk about my old lady. She has a great saying for this one. She always says, the world will only treat you how you let it treat you. People will only treat you how you let them treat you.
Yeah.
If she's letting the guy treat her like this, if it's not a fear thing, then that's on you. I'm sorry. Like, I don't think that's a hot take.
Just go to the best solution. Go to a coffee shop or something nearby. Say, listen, I'm doing this. This is a very important thing. I need you to understand that I did not go out for a walk with my dogs to meet you. You may very well have thought that was what you were doing for me, but it's not something I'm interested in. Frankly, you've spoilt my walks. I don't know you terribly well. It's making me uncomfortable that I should feel that I can't take my dogs for a walk anymore. And these messages are completely and wholly inappropriate, and you need to find someone else. Get on Tinder. And then, and then you leave him with the bill. You leave him with the bill, and you get up and you go.
That's what we want to do. That's what I want to do. No. And I want,
But seriously, like that's, you know, there's no, you can't let this, as Mbulelo said, you, that's also good advice. It's like, don't let it linger and carry on, because then he gets, maybe he's one of these guys. He could be a completely harmless human, right? He could be a nice, good, solid, decent person who's just lonely. But that's still no excuse for him to impose himself on you.
Yeah, if you're not getting anything out of it, then you have to question. If you're only getting negative things out of it, like, my dogs and I'm going to see him.
Most of us are not looking to connect with every individual we meet. I don't want to have a deep and meaningful and abiding relationship with some asshole who says hello to me while I'm walking with my dogs. I don't. I'm not going to meet my soulmate that way. And it is childish for people to think that kind of thing. Not every relationship is going to be deep and meaningful. Sometimes you just wave to someone when you're walking your dog and you get on with your dog walk. Plus, she said in another part of the email I left out that she listens to our podcasts on her walk and now she can't because this asshole's talking to her the whole time.
Oh, no. Well, then so now.
Now get that. Yeah, now you really have to get out. Yeah, because now
it's
this is
taking food off our table now. No, right. Then, I mean.
Totally.
For the love of Christ.
I mean, please, woman. We're begging you.
Who have you got on Cliff Central Sport today?
Today, so every Monday, we're going to have a guy who tried to end my life yesterday in the gym. He's an exercise physiologist, and he's a terrible human being. Brad Phillips, former professional footballer. Mm-hmm. So I want to start. Yeah, he's my new trainer. So I want to start every Monday doing. I know how you love motivational stuff, Gareth. I want to start Mondays, right? So Brad comes in every Monday. We have a bit of a laugh, but we have some serious conversations about wellness, which is at the center of my life. Mm-hmm. And then one of my heroes will join us in the second hour from 1 till 2. I've always said she's the toughest chick in the world in terms of athletes in the whole world.
Yeah.
She went and won something in New Zealand, which no foreigners do in her second year. Lady called Robin Owen. You may know as Robin Keim. She dominated the doozy as a teenager. So she's one of my heroes, and she'll be on to talk about her legendary career. That's going to be an awesome thing. I really, really like her.
That's very good.
And admire her, actually. Yeah.
All right. So, excellent. Busy day. Brad Phillips, Robin Owen. Mm. They'll both be on Cliff Central Sport with Mbulelo today. All right. Apparently, according to Leanne Moll, who's a reliable source, we've fact-checked all of her information. She says infidelity is raging in the 55-plus crowd. So if you have a relative in the 55-plus category, it could be that they're starting to play around. They're starting to
get interesting.
Extramarital relationships of some kind. Go on, tell us where you found this. Is this in South Africa? Is this in South Africa, or is this all over the world?
This is global. It's a general thing. So it's very much related to the fact that we need to remember that when you are 50 something, your idea of what 50 something is. Sorry, let me rephrase that. We need to, as people who are not 50-something, understand that the people who are 50-something are no longer the same as the 50-somethings from 10 or 20 years ago.
Right. Good point.
They are 30 and 40-somethings who've grown to become 50-something.
Right. Okay. I kind of get what you mean.
In the world that we currently live in.
And also, being 55...
So these people...
Being 55 plus now is not... You're not like... 1,000 years old and ready to hop into the grave. Like 55 now is probably more middle aged, and you know, 40 used to be middle aged, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
It's biological age. You can reset that.
Right.
These people have come from, now that we've cleared that up, from a generation that lived during sexual revolution.
Yes.
They're not the 55-year-olds that we're thinking of who grew up with the worst thing that they could think of was their daughter falling pregnant at 20. Mm-hmm. You know, they've come from a generation where having multiple sex partners was normal. Mm-hmm. Some grew up with parents who were swingers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even further to that, this generation is very familiar with using drugs to enhance sexual experiences. You know, maybe back then they smoked grass, took poppers and had hallucinogens. Now they're having Viagra and women are having pills for dryness, and there are CBD oils in lubes.
Wow. It's getting exciting out there.
These people's mentalities have changed completely.
What's going on here? So it's getting hot under the collar.
Well, Cunning Stunt makes a good point here, saying their kids have also grown up, so now they can do whatever they want. That's a good point, you know.
Just earlier, Dr. Hanan was talking about now it's time for me.
Yes.
So these people who have kids leaving home, or they've had kids who've left home for a while and now settled and having children, they're now thinking, do I actually want to be married to this woman for the rest of my life?
And my vagina does not have to stay dry, and my penis does not have to stay soft. There are things I can take for this. It's great.
Exactly.
So dry. Dry.
And a lot of times, if you look at the statistics, and this is from the Institute of Family Studies, a lot of these, you know, the immediate thing that you divert to is a man who's now having an affair with a younger woman.
Yes.
But in a lot of cases, it's a woman who's the same age as his wife, where he's just found a new connection. And these men or women are even so open-minded mm-hmm. that they're approaching their partners and saying, would it be a bad thing if I saw this other woman maybe on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, and you on the others? You know,
wow.
A lot of people aren't that closed-minded when it comes to sexuality and different ways of living. So this is why these cases are becoming more prominent.
Got you. Look, it's interesting. You're part of the 55 plus crowd, and you know, if that's what you're into and that's what you're doing, and you're being safe and you're not hurting anyone, that applies. Like, you do your thing, man. Do your thing.
But you know who kids get more upset, because I'm at least hitting that age now where bullies and stuff comes out from home, where what your bullies may have been up to while you were at home or whatever, you know, just people are at 35 finding things out that, oh geez, like I don't know mom or dad cheated on my mom, kind of thing. It's incredible to me how upset we get, the kids get so upset as opposed to the parents. Because I actually know two families which I've been close to where that's come out, and the kids are more upset than the parents. The parents are just like, oh, okay, well, he's a shithead, and we move on and we get divorced.
Yeah.
Well,
for the kids,
like, it blows their mind. They're family apart.
For the kids who are now 30 or in their 30s, it's removing every bit of stability they've ever had in their life. There's so much changing in their lives. The only thing they could rely on was mom and dad being the same.
And how many parents have stayed together for the kids, you know, and then they've fallen out of love with each other. So they stayed together with the kids. As soon as the kids move out, then they go and sow their wild oats. Robin says, no morals. They're following the bad habits of the youth.
Well, now they are the youth, you know?
Yeah, correct. That's great if it suits some and it works for them, but now I reserve the right to be traditional. That's from Ruth. Yeah. Look, you always have that right. You decide what's good for you. Anyway, I think that's quite an interesting development, and that's something that was in the news over the past few days. So here's Jean, who says, I know a 59-year-old woman from church who got divorced a few months ago and is living her best life at the moment with her new male friend. Ooh, 59.
I like male friend, because that tells you he's probably from what, like the Caribbean, and he's got like an egg pack.
What?
And she's, well, why does she,
like, male friend?
Oh, sure.
We know what's going on. He's definitely Congolese or from the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And
who has the biggest penis?
Vanda. The Vanda right. Boys. Yeah.
Guys, it's time for something that I look forward to every single week. You know that I'm a collector of all kinds of things, books and coins and I'm fascinated by other people's collections of all kinds of interesting stuff, from historical memorabilia to toys to French antique furniture to Christmas decorations to teacups. There's just every kind of collector in the world. And my favorite thing about these collectors is they are all completely and utterly obsessed with their collections, but they also have real lives and they have normal things that they do. And if you didn't know about their collections, you'd probably think, they're an okay person. When you find out that they have these collections, you think, what an amazingly interesting individual. Gives you some insight into what they do in their spare time, what they love, what they obsess over. And it is called Collectomania. It's brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And if you are a collector of anything interesting or unusual, then get in touch with us. Send us an email at contact@cliffcentral.com so we can feature you on the show. This week, we have someone who I think Bulelo is going to appreciate a lot. He's Dr. Barry Schmeiser. He's also a huge, huge Manchester United fan. And he's in the Man U kit. He's in his house with all the Man U stuff. Dr. Barry Schmeiser, how nice to see you. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Gareth. Thank you. I'm very well, especially after a good win yesterday. And thank you for the opportunity of being on your show.
Well, it's a great pleasure. I'm thrilled that you are willing to share your collection with us, because you have, I heard from the producers, you don't think you have such a great collection, but apparently it's enormous. And you even have Man United pajamas. You have all those shirts,
I think that it's become such a sort of the name has become such a potent force in the world of marketing.
Yeah,
that there's so much stuff available, and what happens is it makes it easier for people to give you birthday gifts when they know that you have a particular obsession. I guess
absolutely.
So they were a gift; they weren't purchased by me.
So listen, how did this all start? I mean, you obviously were a fan at the beginning, but tell me about what kind of got you into collecting Manchester United memorabilia.
Yeah, so my, I guess, love affair with Man United started when I was probably about 6 years old and living in Bulawayo at the time. Mm-hmm. I had cousins who followed football. They were older than me, and I guess you kind of follow suit and you attach your name to a team. It gives you a sense of identification. Mm-hmm. And I remember cutting out a card off of the back of a cereal box. It was probably in about 1965, and it was of the great Dennis Law. So that was my first introduction to Man United. And a couple of years later, I had the opportunity of watching them live. My late dad needed to travel to the UK to get a certificate from the pharmacy board. Mm-hmm. And we watched United play live, and the great George Best was playing for them. And I guess that's when the love affair started, because he remains the greatest player that I've ever seen and probably ever will see.
That's incredible, Barry. I've just got some comments coming in already here, and one of them made me think, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo just joined you guys, and there was a massive sellout of every shirt that was available. I mean, I think they generated close to £1 billion in revenue on that move alone.
Yeah.
It's just it's the most incredible thing. So you're not alone. I mean, here's another point. Man U, according to Corona's Boring, says Manchester United is the most supported team in the world, with 10% of the planet who support them. They're also the most hated team, with the other 90% hating them.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is why are they so hated? What are you guys doing that's making us hate you or the rest of the world?
Simple. Human nature, it's jealousy. We're the greatest club on the planet. And, you know, they say, I think apropos your previous discussion, you can change your life partner, but you can't change your football team. So there are millions of poor kids who have grown up bludgeoned into supporting the teams that their dad supports, only to realize that they've made a bad choice. So, you know, it's United is the team. Always the saying goes, hated, adored, but never ignored.
Right. Okay, so is that the new Ronaldo shirt you've got next to you there?
No, in fact, to be honest, that comes out my archive. That is the Ronaldo shirt of 2006.
Oh. Yeah.
I'll try and tip down.
Yeah, there we go.
It's the shirt that United wore in the Champions League that season.
Amazing.
So it comes from old stock. But, you know, in terms of marketing, mm-hmm. and it applies to most clubs, they bring out three shirts every season. Now, if you go back to the 1960s, Man United wore the same shirt throughout the 1960s. It never changed. In fact, it was a red shirt, not dissimilar to what I'm wearing now, but with none of the stripes and without a badge and without a sponsor's name. Just a red shirt with a mm-hmm. white collar and cuffs. So it's all about marketing. And, you know, these teams have a massive, massive staff of marketers. And that's where the revenue comes from, so that players can be purchased and paid astronomical salaries.
So, Doc, first of all, thank you for dressing up this morning for us, because I know no one wants to get dressed first thing in the morning. You've probably got an important and busy day ahead of you. But I want to show people a picture of your office here, just so that they can see. So this is in
wow.
your this is in your practice.
What?
And the walls are covered yeah. with memorabilia. So tell us what's going on in this picture. There's a whole lot. There's a carpet under you with Manchester United on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are all these things on the walls. Tell us what's going on
yeah.
here.
Yeah. So that picture was slightly staged. It was actually taken by some cameramen from the BBC who were doing a feature on supporters all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that particular room that I'm sitting in, they put my examination couch in that room, but it actually lives in a different room with an equal number of photographs in it. And these are just photos of games that I've been to and signed items that I've acquired over the years. And for me, they make prettier viewing than sort of the conventional medical rooms.
Yeah.
Who wants to kind of see pictures of stomachs and skeletons all over the place? What I find is that many patients will only admit after they've kind of completed their investigations or treatment that they're affiliated with other teams, too scared to mention that they hate United. But it creates a good talking point, and I'm surrounded by lots of good memories there.
That's amazing. I mean, it must make you happy, too, to go to work every day and to be in an environment where all that stuff can, even if you've got a terrible patient or you've had a rough day or you're not necessarily feeling that great yourself, you look around there and you can feel a sense of achievement. These are matches that you've been to. It's your favorite sport. It's your favorite team. It's your favorite hobby. It's just a great feeling. What's is this the other room? Is this just the passage that you're in here?
It's a passageway. There are about eight rooms that are decked out. I can tell you, I've never counted them, but the maintenance manager of the clinic in which I work tells me that I have 325 framed items on the walls.
Wow.
And the only reason he knows that is a couple of years ago they were building above the section of the building in which I'm housed, and we were told to take the pictures down because they were doing some work on the ceiling above us. So fortunately, I was going away at the time, but I suggested to him that he take each one down and put a numbered sticker on it with a corresponding number on the wall behind it, so that rehanging them wouldn't be much of a jigsaw puzzle.
Right.
So I'm told that they're 325.
Unbelievable. Do you know what the value of all of these must be? Because it's probably quite high.
I don't know how you attach a value to these things. You know, memorabilia has become a massive market.
Mm.
I guess it's what people are prepared to pay.
Yeah.
One of the problems is there are a fortune of forgeries around. I'm pleased to say that almost every single item that I have there was signed in front of my eyes. So I don't believe there are any forgeries there, coupled with the fact that I'm not looking to sell any of them.
Sure.
But this is, as I say, it's a very big market for memorabilia. Probably the most valuable item that I have, I have in a frame a group of autographs that were signed by the players that tragically lost their lives in the 1958 Munich air crash.
Oh, wow.
And this was given to me by a lady whose husband was an integral part of our supporters club and unfortunately passed away a number of years ago. That's probably the most valuable piece of memorabilia I have. I think things take on value, of course, when the signatories have passed on. But I've never looked to have it valued, and I certainly wouldn't look to make any sort of money out of selling any of these things. They're too dear to me.
So, Doc, I mean, first of all, Carl DeSantis, who's listening to us now, says this is the best collector mania yet. And he says, Dr. Barry, how was that Lingard goal yesterday? He's definitely a fan.
Yeah, so the Lingard goal yesterday was absolutely sublime. But probably those that follow me on social media will know that he's not my favorite son in the Man United team because he doesn't do this often enough. But I'm very, very pleased to eat a small slice of humble pie after yesterday because he scored a worldie yesterday.
Well, Carl also says, I'm going to feign illness just so I can visit the Doc United, massive United fan.
You don't need to feign illness. Just come and say, let's talk football. It's much more fun than talking medicine.
That's amazing. All right, so, Doc, a couple of things here. You've met some of these players. I just want to show some pictures here quickly. Here's you with David Beckham. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. When was this?
Yeah. So those are over various years. The top panel was in his last season before he went on to play for Real Madrid. Mm-hmm. The bottom left one and the top one is taken at the current training ground. The one on the bottom left was taken in 1999.
Yeah.
Of course, the year of United winning the treble. And at that stage, he wasn't exactly a fashion icon. The other two were taken after games in the early 2000s. But what I want to mention is that, first, he's no friend of mine. I've encountered him in these sort of meetings at the training ground, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But a nicer chap you won't come across in terms of treating the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen him besieged by autograph hunters, and he doesn't move off until he has signed every single autograph and taken every single photograph. Wow. So I must have much respect for him.
That's terrific.
And the other thing that goes under the radar is the guy was a sublime player.
Yeah, absolutely. We've sort of started to think of him as a pop culture figure rather than a good footballer. Which
Probably risen above the game in many respects.
Now, here's you with Cristiano Ronaldo in four separate pictures. Tell us what's going on here. This is amazing.
Yep.
What a specimen.
You're talking about me, I presume.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, of course.
No, it's definitely
it was you, Doc.
Excellent. So the picture at the top was taken in 2007, the day before the 2007 FA Cup final.
Wow.
And that was the team's hotel in Windsor.
Hmm.
The other three pictures are taken at various times at the training ground in Carrington, which is kind of just on the outskirts of Manchester. Now, that top picture, I'm very proud to say that Carlos Queiroz, who, of course, is well-known in football circles in South Africa,
mm-hmm.
is a good friend of mine. And it was really through Carlos that I was able to have access, for example, the day before a cup final.
Yeah.
At the night.
Doc?
Oh, no.
I think we've lost his connection there.
It's okay. You can leave the picture up.
Yeah,
it's fine like it is.
You like the picture, huh, Leanne? That's let me just see. I'm going to remove him and see if we can get him back on.
Great sense of humor, that guy.
What a terrific guy. Okay, so first of all, I love the fact that, because this also legitimizes all those of us who are collectors, right? Because this is a doctor. He's a serious person who does a serious job, but he's a massive, massive fan. And his office looks amazing. If I had to walk in there, I think I would immediately feel like this is the best doctor I'd ever met, even if I hadn't met him yet.
It kind of makes you think, what could a doctor be a collectomania about? What could he collect that would completely turn you off and make you walk out the door?
Well, maybe body parts of dead patients would be a problem.
No, but I mean, that would still be fine with me as a doctor. I'd be like, cool.
I don't know. I love this. And I mean, to have met those, so obviously, you know, Ronaldo and Beckham, probably like in terms of fame, you don't get better than that, right? And he's just met them.
Well,
just a couple of times. Here he is. He's back. Hey, Doc, sorry, we lost you.
So Sorry about that.
No worries. We got you back.
It's problems.
No problem. So it's just so cool. You were talking us through the Cristiano Ronaldo and David Beckham pictures. Those are just unbelievable. Are there any players that you really want to meet that you haven't yet met? And is there anything that you'd love to do that you haven't yet experienced in terms of Man U?
Yeah, I think what has happened now is that access to the current squad has become virtually impossible due to security reasons. Mm. You're really not allowed near them. So I have to say that my take on it is that, you know, I follow the club. It doesn't have to be an interaction with the player.
Yeah.
And as a result, I've befriended like-minded people from all over the world. So often we'll encounter one another in Manchester. Mm-hmm. Fantastic to get together with supporters from all over.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're watching a game, the bloke sitting next to you could be a mass murderer, but you become brothers for the 90 minutes of the game. And that's, you know, where we come from. It's a sense of identity. What would I like to see? I'd like to witness United winning a few more trophies, because the trophy cabinet has been a little bit bare over the last couple of seasons. But nevertheless, you follow the team.
And Doc, go ahead, Mbulelo.
Sorry, Doc, you've witnessed sort of the evolution of football from, you know, association football back as it was in the 60s to definitely the biggest TV show in the world. Do you feel more or less connected to Manchester United now than ever? Or is it diluting your support of number one football and Man United? Or do you just feel as in love with United as the very first day you got to see the great George Best?
Yeah, I think the love grows, but the mind boggles with respect to social media, because with the advent of social media, you know, armchair experts like myself are given a voice. So you can vent your displeasure on social media if there's a player who's made a bad pass or you think he's not good enough. You know, when I was in high school, Man United got relegated. I shudder to think what social media, had they been around at that time, would have been awash with. But I think it gives one more of a communication with the club, you know, a little bit more as to what's going on. But the frustrating part of social media is the transfer market. You know, on average, every transfer window, United are linked with about 150 players that allegedly are house hunting in Manchester and looking for schools for their kids and are signing the next day. So there's so much fake news out there. But it certainly hasn't diluted my love for the club, not at all.
It's so cool that you've been able to keep this up and that you've also had the opportunity to have these unique experiences. Are there any clubs that you consider your absolute arch rivals and that you can't stand? And do you have any friends who support those clubs?
I'm ashamed to say that I do have friends that support those clubs. A couple of them, in fact, discussing football is no-go because we probably come to blows. And, of course, United's arch nemesis is Liverpool.
Yes.
We always like to get one over Liverpool. The same applies. And it's an interesting one because if one goes back to the 1950s and 1960s, the players from those respective clubs, they often used to be great mates, and I think there's been a big divide even amongst the players. But my friends who go to every game, who live in the UK, tell me that when they go to Anfield, they actually fear for their lives on those days.
Yeah.
So there's a very strong rivalry with Liverpool. But the rivalry also changes in terms of, you know, who's winning. In the 90s, Arsenal became great rivals because under Wenger, they had a great team and they were winning leagues. Of course, when Mourinho came to Chelsea were the team to beat. Mm-hmm. And now we have our noisy neighbours, Man City, who, you know, they can't even half fill their stadium at the moment. So, you know, even though they win a lot of things, there's not that same, I hesitate to use the word hatred. Yeah. But I think there is hatred between Man United and Liverpool supporters. And certainly, you know, if you were somebody who had suicidal thoughts, you'd rock up at Anfield in front of the cop with a Man United shirt. I don't think you'd get very far.
So Zach says, And I agree with Zach. I mean, just seeing those pictures earlier, it's breathtaking. Your collection looks like seeing the Sistine Chapel of Manchester United. I'm not into soccer, says Zach, but anything historical as this collection always gets my attention. Have you ever had a patient come in who was a Liverpool supporter and they couldn't deal with it? They're like, Doc, I'd rather be sick. I'm going to be even more sick. I can't handle Man U.
not quite, but just remember, you know, if you're coming to a bloke who potentially is going to be doing a colonoscopy on you, you don't want to irritate him. It's one of the rules of life, I guess.
That's so great.
But, you know, Gareth, you mentioned you're a collector of books.
Yeah.
I have a massive Man United book collection.
Wow.
Because we rely on books from the historical perspective.
Sure.
And, you know, there've been some very good books. The disappointing thing, of course, is the so-called players' autobiographies, which are always ghost-written, and they don't make for really great reading. But there's some very, very good Man United historians out there. They make for good reading. Another source of good reading is the Match Program. I have virtually every home game since 1958. So these are other things that form part of the collection.
Sure.
And they're enjoyable. You get a lot of good information out of those things. But in terms of collections, you know, there's some guys overseas who, you know, have collections valued at millions of pounds. But the problem is that there are things put on eBay and various places that are forgeries. That's what one has to be very, very careful of.
Yeah, lots of people, clearly some of these people know who you are. Robin says, bless this lovely man. And it's not because she's a Man U supporter. She obviously, she's in the medical field. So she likes it. Gen X saying, luckily Dr. Barry looks good in red. Indeed.
She should see me in blue.
Here's an interesting question. Do you have a Fred shirt?
Haven't got one, have no intention of getting one, and will be really pleased when one day he's moved out of the club. We want all our players to do well, but Fred is not good enough to be wearing the Man United shirt. There's a controversial comment.
Oh, that's amazing. All right. Not even Fred has a Fred shirt, says Lungile. That's great. I love this. So we're getting deep into the weeds here with this Man U stuff. By the way, is there a match that you've been to that was your absolute all-time favorite? I mean, one that gives you bragging rights with other Man U fans?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, there's a match that I was meant to be at that I didn't get to. That is a source to this day of great disappointment to me.
And that don't
was
say
1999. Sorry.
I don't say it. I thought you were going to say something else there, Doc, and it was going to break my heart. But I'm glad it's not the one I was thinking about.
No, which were you thinking of?
I thought Luzhniki, the Champions League.
No, yeah. The 1999 Champions League final, which goes down as the most historic night in the club's history. I had a ticket for that game. Unfortunately, we had a family function in the United States at the same time.
Oh.
And yeah, I have to say, unfortunately, that one won out. So that is a game I regret having been at.
I hope that family member was extremely grateful because...
Gareth, to be honest, probably to this day ungrateful, but the subject of another story. Hopefully my good wife is not listening to this. But to watch United, no matter who they play, it's always thrilling, absolutely thrilling to be there, to mingle with the crowd, to be in the pubs before the game, and to behave like an absolute banshee, singing songs, swearing like an absolute trooper. It's always awesome. And funny enough, one of the most memorable games that I was at was a game that United lost at home to Real Madrid, where Ronaldo actually scored the winning goal for Real Madrid.
Scored a hat-trick?
No, that was the Brazilian Ronaldo who scored a hat-trick at United, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, this was in Fergie's last season at United.
Wow.
The first leg had been drawn away in Madrid, and United were leading 1-0 when Nani got sent off in that game, and the rest history, Real Madrid went on to win the game. But before the game started, it was announced that Ryan Giggs was in the team lineup, and the stadium went ballistic because he was breaking one of the European records. But when they announced the Real Madrid lineup and they announced Ronaldo's name, I can tell you the roof nearly came off the stadium. The fans went utterly ballistic. And this is what United fans do. If a player has played for United and he's made a good impression, he will be loved even if he moves on to another club. You know, it's kind of fashionable to boo the guy that used to play for you and now is wearing colours of another team. But Ronaldo coming back in that Real Madrid shirt, I will never forget. And I've been to seven FA Cup finals. My record is not good. We've lost four of them. But they're great occasions.
Yeah.
And one looks at these as an occasion rather than the 90 minutes that you're watching because it goes so quickly. But there's always a narrative at a game. There's always a scenario. There's always somebody's going to come up against somebody. There's going to be a clash. There's going to be a yellow card. There's going to be, you know, all sorts of stuff. So there's lots to talk about at every game. It's just awesome to be there.
I'm just loving hearing you talk about these things. You are so passionate about this stuff. Doc, do you have a wife who understands? I mean, you know, a lot of...
Oh, yeah.
She has to, right? She has no option.
Well, my wife, in fact, over the years has become a staunch United fan, and I have to say she's got a good knowledge of the game.
All right.
In fact, in that 99 Champions League final, which we were relegated to watching on ESPN in the USA, she'd asked me on the day if I thought that United were going to win. And I said, the script is written. We're going to win the treble. And going into just virtually the last minute of the game, we were losing. And she said to me, I guess your script writer's got it wrong. And I have to say, my wife is much stronger than I am. I'd never think of anything violent. But in that one moment, I have to say, it crossed my mind that, you know, what do I do? But fortunately, Teddy Sheringham and Ole Solskjaer came to my rescue. And they scored what turned out to be the equalizing and winning goals.
Excellent.
So she was let off the hook then. But she's a good fan, I have to say. She's been with me to some games. We've painted our faces at games.
That's fantastic.
Just a little anecdote. The first game that she ever came to was Man United at home to Fenerbahce of Turkey in 1995 in the Champions League.
Wow.
To date, United had never lost a home game in European competition, and we lost that night. So she got a 10-year ban from coming back to the stadium.
Does she ban you from putting up memorabilia anywhere outside of your man cave or your office?
No.
No. So is the rest of the house also full of this stuff?
No, I've got a study that's bedecked with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this room that's bedecked. And I have to say, the room in which I'm sitting used to be one of my kids' rooms who subsequently moved out.
Right.
And we had a leaking roof in this room. And she, in fact, when it got to being repaired, said to me, why don't you turn it into a kind of man cave? So she has to take blame, full blame for that.
Yeah, but she only did that to get you to repair the roof. Now we know.
Possibly.
Doc, it's so good to talk to you. You're an absolute inspiration. I love your collection. I'm so glad that you agreed to share it with us because it's really extraordinary.
Such a pleasure.
So great. I love it.
All right. Such a pleasure.
And Mbulelo, have you ever met a bigger Man U fan?
Jeez, I mean, that's insane. That's sickeningly insane. I mean, as a Man United hater myself, but it is something beautiful to behold when somebody's that committed.
We love
it. I have to say that, you know, when you follow football, so to turn around, you know, I think that we have respect for whoever the opposition is. We have respect for the other great clubs. You know, to adopt an attitude, our support. You know, you often meet people. Who do you support? Anyone playing Man United or whatever.
Yeah.
I have a stock answer to that. I say I love talking about football to people who know about the game, so let's talk about the weather.
Dr. Barry Schmeiser, what a pleasure to have you on the show this morning. And thank you for your collection and the incredible work that you do in keeping Man United fans in South Africa jealous a little bit, because I'm sure none of them can really compete with a collection like this, but also inspiring them, because this kind of thing is just obsessive, and I love it. I think it's terrific.
Thank you.
Very good
to see
you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to chat to you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wow. Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
That's the best, right?
That is awesome.
Lifelong fan. I love that.
And he's funny, and he's smart, and he's got an answer to all of the usual jibes that people will give him. And I just love that collection. Those pictures are mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Imagine you go to your doctor.
Pretty special.
You go and check in on your doctor, and you know you need to go and have something sorted out, and you look at that. I mean, I'd spend an extra hour. I'd arrive an hour early just to look at all the stuff on the walls. Unbelievable. Magic. All right, well,
that is the magic one. Football is the connector. Even if I hate Man United, you get there, the guy's a United fan. I was in Sweden a couple of years ago, and I was wearing my Bayern Munich shirt, just like in the middle of nowhere, just walking to get to whatever, you know. Guy comes up to me, and it's got a guy called Thomas Müller on the back.
Yeah.
So this guy from Uruguay comes up to me. We start talking about Bayern Munich in the middle of Sweden. Here I am walking on my own, minding my business. And it's just like, we're off, you know, and having a laugh. And he loves Müller as well. It's football's special like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gen X says, I'm not a soccer fan, but it seems like I've missed out on great fun listening to Dr. Barry. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he'd get anyone excited about sport. But what you're saying, Mbulelo, is so true. Like, just by being fans of a team, it can bring people, it can bring people together. I mean, you haven't forgotten already that the doc said you could be sitting next to a mass murderer at the stadium. but for that, you know, 90 minutes, you're brothers. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
So true.
All right. Well, that's another excellent episode of Collectomania, brought to you by the South African Gold Coin Exchange and the Scoin Shop. And by the way, if you haven't already thought about maybe diversifying your little portfolio and getting yourself some gold or some platinum or some silver, it may be time to do that. And they have some seriously collectible stuff at the Scoin Shop and through the Gold Coin Exchange. So get hold of them. You can find all the details on cliffcentral.com on the page for Collectomania, and share the story and share the podcast with all of your friends, because if there's someone else that we get to meet, like the incredible Dr. Barry Schmeiser, then we'd love to have them on the show. So let us know if you've got anyone in your family, your friendship group, your extended community who maybe also collect something really interesting. We want to hear about it. It's always fascinating. I love it. All right. That's all we got time for today. And I hope you'll have a very productive and terrific Monday. If you don't, that's on you, because we can only wish the best for you.
All your fault,
it's your
man.
Fault. Yeah, telling you. And thank you very much for joining us this morning. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early at 6 a.m. Have a great Monday. Cheers, everybody. Bye. CliffCentral.com.